Hallelujah. Today's title is Why Do the Seas Flee and the Jordan Recede? Why do the seas flee and the Jordan recede? Today's scripture reading, Psalm 114, verse 1 to 8. Psalm 104, verse 1 to 8. I'd like to read. When Israel went forth from Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of a strange language, Judah became his sanctuary, Israel his dominion. The sea looked at fled, the Jordan turned back. The mountain skipped like a ram, the hill like lambs. What are you, O sea, that you flee, O Jordan, that you turn back? O mountains, that you skip like ram, O hills like a ram. Tremble, O earth, before the Lord, before the God of Jacob, who turned the rock into a pool of water, the flint into a fountain of water. This is the word of God. In today's passage, the psalmist recounts the history of the Exodus and God's work in bringing the Israelite dry land and crossing the Red Sea and the Jordan River, causing the Red Sea to flood and the Jordan River to recede. In particular, the praise, the mountains skipped like a ram and the hills like a ram. You can see the verse 4 and 6 is vividly described Moses receiving the law from God on Mount Sinai. You can see also Exodus chapter 19, while surrounded by earthquake and the flames. And turned the rock into a pool of water, the flint into a fountain of water, in verse 8, records the time when God produced water from a rock, quenching the thirst and the hunger of the Israelites and their animals. You can find out at Exodus chapter 17, verse 6, and Numbers 20, verse 11. This is a clear reminder that it is our God, the Father, who performs these amazing supernatural miracles. By reminding the Israelites of the event of the Exodus, God is proclaiming that they have become God's people, ruled by God, and He wants them to remember that He is always with them and protecting them. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 to 11, the Apostle Paul tells us that we should use the event of the Exodus as a warning to us believers as we face the end of this world. I like to read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10 to 11. Nor grumble as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. The history of Exodus doesn't just apply to Israel, but it is God's word to us as we leave this world as a transition to heaven. As we know, the number of Israel's men alone was 600,000, and the mixed group of women, children, and elderly, more than 2 million people escaped from Egypt. But the Bible testified that all of them died during the 40 years in the wilderness. And all of those who belong to the first generation of men in the wilderness die, and only Joshua and Caleb survived to cross the Jordan River and enter the land of Canaan. According to the Numbers chapter 32, verse 12 to 13, they say is that except Caleb, the son of the Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have followed the Lord fully. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel, and He made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, until the entire generation of the who had done evil in the sight of the Lord was destroyed. As we know, the crossing of the Red Sea and the entrance into the land of Canaan by crossing the Jordan River is a picture of our entrance into heaven from this earth, and it is shown to us throughout Israel's history. In other words, the crossing the Red Sea represents a baptism that cleans us of all the sins we have committed in this world. You can find out the 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 and 2 is the apostle inspired by the Holy Spirit, and he testified that. I like to read, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea." The people of Israel had been enslaved in Egypt for 400 years and had forgotten God and were strained with the sin of not serving God. They did not have faith in God, and God had to show them signs and wonders to make them follow Him. But when they judged by everything they saw, not by faith, and when it was not reserved, they were afraid and fell into temptation, and they were the ones who complained, grumbled, and even opposed the work of pursuing God. What was the state of their faith when they left Egypt after celebrating the Passover in the transmigrations? But with the Red Sea in front of them and the Egyptian army pursuing them from behind. According to the Exodus chapter 14, verse 10 to 12, I like to read, "And as Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. And they become very frightened, so the sons of Israel cry out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, 'Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, "Leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians"? But it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. And God set up a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire between the Israelites who were afraid and the Egyptian army that was after them, so that the Egyptian army could not approach them. And they stood, and Moses stretched out his hand all night long and blew an east wind, so that the waters of the Red Sea departed, and they saw dry land, and they trod on the dry land and crossed over the Red Sea. And every day during the 40 years of their wilderness sojourn, he sent a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire before them. And they saw it and followed it, and every day God sent manna down from heaven, and they saw it and ate it. And God made water come out of the rock, and the rivers flowed in the desert. And every day for 40 years there were miracles and happenings. And every day they saw and touched them, but their doubt and the murmuring and grumbling against God and against Moses did not cease. Because of this grumbling, they were not allowed to enter the land of Canaan, and they all perished in the wilderness. In the Numbers chapter 14, verse 29 to 30, "Who have grumbled against me, surely you shall not come into the land in which I swore to settle you, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. The curse of their father's resentment also fell upon the children of the second generation born in the wilderness. Their parents died, but their bodies spent a period of the wandering in the wilderness until their bodies rot away. You can find at Numbers 14, verse 33. Do you want your children to do well? Truly, we must remove the grumbling and the complaining from our lives, Children, through no fault of their own, are destined to suffer with you because of your unbelief and the grumbling. But while the crossing the Jordan River was certainly on dry land, as was the crossing the Red Sea, the mindset of the people and the command of God were different. The second generation of the wilderness who would cross the Jordan River was different from the first generation of the wilderness. Although they had not lived in Egypt, they had grown up watching the first generation of the wilderness who longed for the life in Egypt and wanted to go back whenever they had the chance. Even though they saw, ate, and experienced God's work day by day, their complaining and resentment did not stop, and they eventually saw the first generation of the wilderness die before their eye. We don't know if they had a full faith or not, but it is clear that they knew that the grumbling and the murmuring against the God's words and the commands would kill them. They may have grumbled and murmured in their hearts, but they didn't say it out loud. Crossing the Jordan River and entering the land of Canaan is not by seeing and following signs and wonders, but by faith, by the grace given to us by God. You can find out the Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. The scripture said, by grace you have been saved through faith. And also in the 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Isn't it? When the second generation in the wilderness crossed the Jordan River, the condition of the Jordan River was such that it was swollen and overflowing. You can see that Joshua chapter 3, verse 15. In normal time, the Jordan River is about 30 meters wide and about 1 to 4 meters deep. But when the late rains come and the snow on Mount Hermon melt, the river's width and breadth and the quickly increase with the amount of the rainfall, and the swiftness of the current makes it impossible to cross it with the bare hands. To the second generation, he did not say standing still and watch as he did to first generation, but gave them commands on what they should do. The first, they were to follow the Ark of Covenant in the Joshua chapter 3, verse 3 and 6. The pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud did not read the way. The visible Joshua did not stand in front of them and do anything, but they were to follow the Ark of Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant is a symbol of God's presence. The priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant in front of the people were told to keep 2,000 cubits, is about the 0.05 miles between them and the Ark of the Covenant. They were not to run ahead of the Ark of the Covenant, but to keep it so far away that they couldn't see it and didn't know where it was going. The Ark of the Covenant is the Word. When we work by the Word, God shows us the way we should go. And the Joshua tell them in the Joshua chapter 3 verse 4, however, there shall be the between you and it a distance of about 2,000 cubic by measure. Do not come near it, then you may know the way by which you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. Amen. When we fix the eyes of our heart on the word, we are able to walk in the ways that the Lord desires and is pleased with. You can see that the Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 14 is God that commands us, and do not turn aside from any of the words which I command you today, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. God promised to grant all the blessings listed in Deuteronomy 28 if we follow the command of the invisible world, the invisible God. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. And also in Romans chapter 8, verse 24, it speaks to us, for in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one also hope for what he sees? Amen. Second, he says to sanctify yourself in Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. To follow the ark of the covenant is to become the spiritually one with God. It's about participating in God's divine character. It's about the sanctification, holiness, as God's required at the Mount Sinai when he gave the law to the Israelites. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 10 to 13, you can never follow the Lord with a simple heart. You can only follow him fully by taking up your cross. Amen. The third, the Lord commanded the priest to carry the Ark of the Covenant and cross the Jordan River ahead of the people. In Joshua chapter 3, verse 6, as soon as the soles of the priest's feet touched the waters of the Jordan, the water instantly began to dry up as if electricity were flowing through it. The priest stood firm for a long time, their feet fixed without moving a step, in Joshua chapter 3, verse 17. We are not told how long the approximately 2 million Israelites walked across the Jordan River, but given that they encamped at the Gilgal that night, in Joshua chapter 4, 19, the priest must have stood by the Jordan carrying the Ark of the Covenant all day. The Red Sea was crossed after it parted, but the Jordan River stopped flowing when the priest put their feet into the overflowing waters. In Joshua chapter 3, verse 18, when the eight priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant took that first step of faith, God's work was done. Also, although the water flowing from above was cut off, the place where the river's water piled up and stood tall, in Joshua chapter 3, 13, was on the outskirts of the town of Edom. In Joshua chapter 3, 16, the place where the Israelites crossed the Jordan River became Abel Shittim. The distance from here to Edom is about 20 miles. Because the water couldn't flow into the Dead Sea, about 33 miles of the river was dry land, a quarter of the entire banks of the Jordan River was dry land. When the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, they saw a wall of water on both sides and crossed over. However, the second generation in the wilderness who crossed the Jordan River could not see the place where the water stood because it was too far away. However, they could cross the Jordan River with peace of mind, knowing that God was working in this moment. Hallelujah. By crossing the Jordan River, the Israelites switches from belonging to Moses to belonging to Joshua. After crossing the Red Sea, what happened there? In the 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 2, said, and all were, that only there is Israelite, were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Through baptism, they become those who belong to Moses, the father of the law. By the law, they became a way of sin and made a vow before God to live with a clean conscience. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. However, they grumbled, complained, and tested God, doubting Him. Now, to enter the kingdom of heaven, they need fire and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which they receive by faith and through Jesus Christ. In the Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, the Baptist John talked to Israelite, and he said, as for me, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he, that is Jesus, who is coming after me, is mightier than I, and I'm not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. This is what is referred to as a shadow. After crossing the Jordan River, the Israelites changed from Moses to Joshua. And according to the Joshua chapter 3, verse 7, now the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. From the you, this verse, you have to be what? Emphasize the focusing. This day I will begin to you, exalt to you. Joshua is a shadow of Jesus. The crossing of the Jordan River marks the end of 40 years of wilderness wandering, the end of a servant life of watching and following what God was doing, and the beginning of the life of working with God in faith in all things. It is time to grow in faith. It is time for hands on river and walk in the lands of Canaan. It is time to work with the Father in obedience, just as we have seen the Father who wants to give us peace at every turn. I pray to you, I pray that you who have been made the royal priest, will the king priest, will maintain your position, carry the ark of covenant to the end with royalty and praise by the Father. Amen.